Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprises. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn, and right now in the studio with me, I have Taylor Sear, our co-host. Van's on his way in. He's got our guests. So later in the show, we're going to be talking with Chris Chancy, the Southeast Regional Representative at Hope International, and also Joel Iverson, the co-founder of Monday Night Brewing. And we love Monday Night Brewing here at Business Radio X. And
yeah.
We're drinking some Fu Man brews right now in
exactly.
honor of him coming.
Yeah.
So, Taylor, I'm excited about this show. We're going to talk to them later. I think we're going to be talking about their event, Micro Brews for Micro Loans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an event to learn more about Hope International. So,
yeah, I'm really excited. They do some incredible stuff for entrepreneurs, which I can't even say. Maybe I should learn how to say that word if we're going to be talking about that today, in the third world countries, which is just so incredible. And there's things that you can do here to help them. So it's incredible.
Well, we're going to, when they get here, they'll be in the studio shortly. But when they get here, we'll dig into that. But first, just how have you been? How's your week going? I know before the show, we were talking about both getting married soon. So
yeah.
We're trading scar tissue and getting excited
yeah,
about that.
Exactly. He's telling me all the contacts he has. And I'm like, well, why aren't we like BFFs right now? You need to tell me what you're doing and I can share my insights. So we're in
Definitely.
The same boat, Kevin.
I'm
it.
I'm excited about that.
Well, look who walked in.
Well, here we go. We got Van.
Way
he
to
made
make
it to the
you
studio.
Guys.
They have to, they're the stars of the show. They got to come in right at the last second. So.
Such divas.
Well, welcome, Chris. Welcome, Joel. And Van. Great to have you here as always. So.
Well, thanks. As
you missed my beautiful intro.
Did well
introduced everybody. It sounded great.
We put this in podcast format, right?
Exactly.
I can hear it later.
Definitely. You can definitely listen back and hear it. Well, also welcome, gentlemen, to the show. Yeah.
Guys, this is Kevin. Kevin, this is the guys.
Hello,
Definitely.
Kevin.
Oh, thanks for the intro, man.
Well, Taylor.
They don't know me either.
I thought everybody knew you.
And this is Taylor.
Sorry. I'm the worst host ever.
Yeah, it's true.
So
I'm kidding.
So what have you said to this point?
Definitely. Well, we're just talking about, I introduced our two guests while they were coming in, and we were talking about the Micro Brews for Micro Loans program, and we wanted to learn more about them. We want our listeners to know about what you guys are really doing over there with Hope and how Monday night's participating.
Perfect segment. Well, let me kind of set the stage too and introduce Chris and Joel. Chris is with Hope International, and I'm going to let you give most of the details about it. But when you look at what we try to accomplish with relational equity and that, you know, trying to lift up companies in and around Atlanta that have a socially good focus, that, hey, there's things we can do beyond just raising money for our organization. You guys are literally going around the world with that message. So, Chris Chancy, introduce yourself. Tell us about Hope International.
Sure. Great. Thanks for having me, guys. This is it's awesome to be a part of what you guys are doing and to be able to play the same role around the world. So, we're lifting up entrepreneurs around the world and providing a small loan and an opportunity for them to give them a hand up and not just a hand out and let them see some business success and just walk alongside them in that process.
So what type of companies do you work with?
We're working with small entrepreneurs all over the world. So there's nearly 600,000 of them in various countries in Africa and other some of the hardest places in the world. And so, I mean, in many cases, it's going to be something as small as a $200 loan that they can use to really begin to build a business and something that a bank might be interested in investing in later.
So, Chris, how did you get into this? It seems like a really interesting job. I can tell you're really passionate. I can hear it in your voice. How does someone get into your kind of career? Tell us a little bit of the backstory.
Just love business and just love seeing people use business for good reason and to see it be a place where people can be people of integrity and be honest and see how that can impact their community. So we see entrepreneurs all over the world that begin investing in their business and quickly see how that impacts their community and the people around them.
Well, so how do y'all even go about identifying where those folks are? I mean, are they just people with the same heart for reaching those businesses? I mean, $200 goes such a long way in the countries you guys are working with, but how do y'all even find the people to approach?
Yeah, that's a huge part of a challenge and something that we're continuing to look to get better at. The main piece of it is interesting because entrepreneurs here in the U.S. are very same characteristics are going to exist of those entrepreneurs in third world countries. They're dedicated, hardworking, persistent. They have strong vision. So all those things are true of Joel and so many other people here in Atlanta that are doing great things with startups. But the interesting piece is the motivations usually are totally different. Mm-hmm. For the people that we're calling entrepreneurs, they're just trying to put food on the table.
Right.
They're trying to provide for their family, get another kid to be able to attend a local school. And so the motivations look a lot different, but the same passions. And so we're looking for those people who are ready to work and willing to put some work and some of their own intelligence behind a loan and make it happen.
Well, what do you really see when you find those people, you find the right people, you offer them a loan and you say, hey, we realize you're an entrepreneur. Do you see their eyes light up? You put a word to something they've been doing? You give them more purpose? Is that what you really see?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. The neatest part about what we do is seeing dignity on people's faces. The smile says it all when we go to visit these clients and they stand up and share with us about the business they've started. So I was just with some clients down in the Dominican Republic just this past week. And there were several clients. One in particular had just started a local little grocery store for her community. So there were people, we were standing there interviewing her, and people were coming in and out buying different goods for their own needs, for their own businesses. But she was just so excited to share with us the details of her profit margins and how she started and how now she has a couple employees that she's providing jobs for. And the dignity is just so strong because no one did this for her. She took a loan and she made it work herself.
Wow.
We're all smiling in this room. We're like, this is just incredible. I think because we all have the entrepreneurial spirit within us. So we're like, oh, I know what that's like. I know what it, you know, to own something and to really make a difference with what you're doing.
That is the Monday night putting a smile on my face.
I have a whole segment for Monday night coming up. So, but you know, there is a difference when we start companies here in the States. It's pretty much for our bottom line to grow a business, to employ people, to get our name out there, to market it the right way.
To promote
the good, mm-hmm. But it's a totally different bottom line with the people that you're dealing with, and that it's a way out, and it's a way to support their families. What's one of the stories that we have heard of or we should be knowing about that's started small and now it's actually having a big impact in their communities?
Wow, there's so many, and the neat thing is that every time I meet one of our clients, the stories are really similar. And at the same time, they're so extraordinary individually. So one lady that comes to mind is a lady named Bienvenida. So just, you know, in Spanish just means welcome, but that's kind of her spirit. She's just so welcoming to people. But her story, really simply, her husband had started a restaurant, and unfortunately he got a form of cancer and passed away. And so she's left with her family and having to provide. And so she took a small loan to just to keep things going at the restaurant and try to recover and bring in some people that could help her manage those responsibilities that were now on her plate. And in that process, saw the restaurant starting to grow and started seeing the community really get behind what she was trying to do. So over time now, this has been several years that she's been a loan client for us. And she's got the restaurant. She built onto that, has a grocery store. And now she has a daughter that's in med school. And the daughter's going to come back. She has a little clinic that she's built onto the side. But the coolest part about her story is that for many people in that area, when they start to see some success, it's easy for them to kind of move out of the slum, so to speak, and get a nicer house, get a concrete floor. So she took us to her house just a few blocks away from her little shop. And it was this beautiful, like, three-story mansion, gated palm trees in the middle of all these shanties.
Oh, my goodness.
And she says, hey, this is where our community gathers. This is where I teach other people about business. We have church here in my home. This is where community life happens. So it's neat to see those examples of people just serving their community and see how it can really
definitely
take root.
Well, I think it also is probably a big thing. You said like a loan could be a couple hundred dollars, but over there, money moves a lot more. A dollar moves a lot more than it does here. So I don't know, for someone that would be donating, it's really cool to see how huge of an impact that is. And more people like me on the lower scale can get in on this and really make a huge impact on people's lives.
Well, and that's how I met Chris. If you guys could see the studio right now, we've got Chris in a tie. I think his jacket's probably around here somewhere.
He wins best dressed, definitely.
And so he's meeting with business people about business for the most part and doing the traveling. But to his left is Joel Iverson of Monday Night Brewing, who is my idol at this point with the baseball cap, the long sleeve tee, the jeans. And you guys have partnered up for an event that's coming up just to Kevin's point about how do people get involved. And it's business, but it's also having a beer. And I love the title. And it's not a unique title. There's other events like this throughout the country, right?
Sure.
But tell us about the event that you guys have coming up at Monday Night Brewing.
Well, we love supporting local entrepreneurs. And the first event we did like this was a little over a year ago, just as Monday Night we're opening the doors on their brewery. And we had several hundred people show up, and I think more of them were there for other reasons than hope. But it was a great opportunity to share our message. And so as we go for round two here in a couple weeks on April 1st, just excited to have a big crowd and be able to share what we're doing, but at the same time be able to talk about Monday Night and celebrate the success they've seen.
Yeah, Joel, welcome to the show. We have hopefully been trying to burn your ears off for at least 3 weeks now.
Yeah, blowing up social media. So,
well, we may or may not really, really enjoy beer here on the show, but mostly the microbrews and the companies that have popped up in Georgia, and nobody's a better success story than Monday Night. And so we've been talking about you guys every Friday and a lot, and so we're happy to have you in the studio. Hey, tell us a little bit about how Monday Night got started, where y'all's event center is, because it's pretty cool, and how you got partnered with Chris and Hope International.
Yeah, absolutely. So Monday Night, it actually started out as not on Monday nights. It was a Friday morning 6 a.m. Bible study.
Right.
Me and a few other guys were in this Bible study. We didn't know each other that well. Turns out Friday mornings, 6 a.m., hard time to hang out and get to know
oh my goodness.
Guys. And my wife, I think she regrets it now, but she had actually just given me a home brewing kit, and this is 8.5 years ago. And so we said, let's do something outside of Friday mornings at 6 a.m., and it turns out Mondays, in general, they kind of suck. And, no one really has anything going on. It's kind of like
about?
This day that nobody looks forward to, so like, let's try brewing a beer one Monday night. So we got together. We brewed that first batch of beer. Yeah, you know, if you know anyone who's homebrewed or if you've homebrewed, those can go either way. It's
yeah.
like first batch is like this guy.
Your friends invite you over and they're right. like, all right, try this.
This guy like, last night, he's like, yeah, I did this one homebrew and I put like cayenne peppers
whoa.
And all this stuff.
No,
and he's
thank
like, and then literally he's like, none of my friends ever wanted to drink my stuff again. And
never.
He gave up. But fortunately for us, the first batch was actually drinkable. And
wow.
so we were like, wow, this is awesome. And we just kind of invited. We started just brewing more beer every Monday night. It turned out kind of this fun thing, and then we realized we were making way too much beer for one Bible study to consume. So we invited friends, neighbors, coworkers, random people from the internet started showing up. We started kind of it, and really it was. You know, it was about the beer, but it was also about kind of this great atmosphere that you get on a Monday night of people coming together
yeah.
and just having
community.
Discourse and community,
community.
And conversation,
yeah.
and it's and that there that influenced I think a lot of like as we sort of went down this path trying to just create a place that people could come and have that and do that because there's not a lot of it's either in America now you have really really loud bars or really quiet coffee shops
yeah.
and there's very few venues where people can just kind of come together and have discourse.
It's
and,
so
and,
true, though.
Yeah.
You're well, so true on that.
Because we've been there. We both. I mean,
yeah.
That event is so open. It's great for weddings. It's great for just hanging out. And then for the event that you guys are going to be doing on the 1st. So tell me, what's that going to look like and how can people get involved on the event on the 1st?
Yeah, everyone's welcome to attend, and we're just going to be hanging out. We've got a food truck. Mac the Cheese is going to be there.
There you go.
We've got a great local band that's going to be there called the Rye Band, and just looking forward to hanging out, and then we'll have a few minutes just to share some stories about some of our clients and just be able to relate to them and just to kind of dive into this idea of what we call small change.
Okay.
So it's just this concept that from the outset, if we were to just dive in on one of the communities that we're working in around the world, so if we're in Rwanda and we just land on the ground and we say, man, we've been serving with the staff here, with these clients here for a couple years, from the outset, we're not going to notice anything different. The lives that we live here are so totally detached from what they're dealing with that we would say, it doesn't really look like much is going on here. Where's the success
right.
story? Where are the businesses? But the fact is that these small investments that we're making produce incredible changes in these people's lives, such as, you know, a girl being able to go to school that, you know, the mom wasn't able to afford that just weeks earlier. So seeing a small change and a small impact on our end can have a huge impact there on their end.
It's really big ROI. And the name of the event's Microbrews for Microloans, and it's from 7 to 9 at Monday Night Brewing.
So. Yep, on the 1st. And we just tweeted that out from the Relational EQ account. And if you're following our hashtag, Social Good Pod, that's going out. And we're seeing a lot of tweets, people listening in today. So we've got the ears, at least, and this will go out in perpetuity on a podcast when this is done. So we've got a couple of weeks, which is why I'm glad y'all got here today versus next Friday, give people enough of a heads up. So there's tickets on the Eventbrite site, and there's tickets
on the Facebook page too.
There's a Facebook page too with the link, and so we can drive that. But at Monday Night Brew, as excited as we are you're not kidding, Joel? Like, this isn't available in a six pack anywhere.
No, actually, this is our Blind Pirate Double IPA. It's a beer. It's only been in Bombers before, and we just did the first six packs this morning, and I brought them here for you guys to drink.
So we have the first
ones outside the brewery.
Blind Pirate Double India Pale Ale.
Indian Pale Ale, yeah.
So good. So good. So I wish you guys could taste this. We need to figure out
how to... They will be able to taste it very soon.
Very soon.
Van, you're on a two-beer limit, okay?
So I have a question for Joel. Where do I get certified to be a test-tasting ninja?
So. Yeah. Oh.
So the taste-testing ninja, yes. My title is operations guy and taste-testing ninja.
Very professional.
Yeah, exactly. Well, some people...
I think it's legit.
Some people read, yeah, some people... It's funny because some people read that and you're like, who are you? Like,
are you an intern?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm actually the owner. But,
you're not getting hired.
Right.
So it's kind of a half joking title because I had some in our early days of brewing, some batches that we did that I went a little overboard on some flavors. We did one where it was actually going to be a spruce beer, and we're like, spruce, this will be great, nice like winter beer, and got all these fresh spruce. One of my business partners, Jeff, was working Home Depot at the time, and he got all these like fresh spruce tips from Home Depot, and we put it in the beer, and it just didn't taste spruce enough. So we're like, all right, we need more spruce.
More cowbell.
Exactly. Like, and I'm like, come on, guys, you can't have too much spruce, can you? And so get this like spruce
as a t-shirt.
Extract.
Let's get that on the. Let's get somebody. Yeah. Somebody make a t-shirt right now that says, "Too much spruce."
And so I just remember like literally taking this spruce extract and pouring it, being like, "Is that enough? How about that?" And they were like, I think that's too much. I'm like, no, a little more. And I dumped this whole thing of spruce extract in there. And
oh my goodness!
Needless to say, there is such thing as too much spruce. It reminds you of Pine Sol.
Drink my Pine Sol beer, please.
Exactly. So we have a whole section on our site where we sort of tell about our failed experiments, and it's just kind of fun to relive
more
those.
Spruce.
I love that. So Joel, what was your real job before you got to have fun and make beer?
So my real job was kind of worked as operations and strategy consulting and kind of a very boutique firm that worked with a lot of infomercial companies.
Oh. Really?
So yeah, all those.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of this crazy, wacky industry, and we had kind of this little niche where we would go out there and help people strategize how they're going to buy their media, how they're going to sort of outsource their supply chain. And,
okay, good. So you're not the one like over dramatizing every single like, hair on your arm,
exactly.
It's so bad for you. Like, you know, those infomercials are like the worst.
Definitely. For three easy payments.
Okay.
$19.95. Yeah, the voice right there.
I've never seen one.
So Joel, all right, you're doing that, and then your wife buys you this brew kit, and then you start drinking beers on Monday, and it's growing bigger, and she's dealing with it, and then you're like, honey, guess what? I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to open a brewery. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. How did that conversation go?
Yeah, tell that story.
There were people sometimes are like, what was the one step between like home brewing and the brewery today? I'm like, well, first off, it wasn't one step. It was so thankfully, like, I think my Jonathan and Jeff, my business partners, we all have like the most amazing wives that have been very, very supportive.
I love this. It's so true. Behind every great man is a great woman.
You would. Yes.
I know I would. It's the truth.
I'm a newlywed of 20 years. I know exactly what you're talking about.
A newlywed of 20 years.
and it was really, we kind of we set, you know, everyone's like, hey, I want to open a microbrewery after you brew your first beer. And then you actually kind of realize, all right, this is a terrible idea.
And we costs a lot more.
It costs a lot of money. It's a low margin business. And so we kept saying no, no, no. But we loved what was happening every Monday. Yeah. And people kept kind of saying, you guys really need to do this. And people kept coming. And so we kind of took a very, I think, methodical approach. We laid out like a 3-year plan, which turned into 5 years. We didn't do it all on time, but and we really kind of took our time with trying to do it right. You know, we could have gone out and probably scrounged together and made a brewery, but you know what you see today, we've only been open there a year,
right?
But it was really kind of 7 years of planning to get to that point. So
in the 7 years, take us through that, because a lot of companies in Atlanta are in a startup mode, and you know, you hear the kind of the buzzwords. You know, whether it's, hold on, Kevin's got to get a beer. Hold on.
Beer break. Priority.
You know, there's bootstrapping, there's, you know, going out and getting investments and all that. What was y'all's philosophy and what kind of drove that conversation as far as how the business was going to get off the ground from a financial standpoint?
Yeah. So we took the, a conservative approach in the sense that, you know, going out there and actually raising more money than we thought we'd need, getting bigger loans than we thought we'd need. We did a combination of private investors and SBA loan to get the business off the ground. And we, you know, what we tried to do as we thought about that was really get build it right from the beginning. Kind of don't shortchange yourself. There are certain things where you can bootstrap it. We've spent $0 on marketing because Jonathan like literally designs and does everything.
Right.
Awesome.
No marketing budget. But really just kind of tried to say, all right, we're going to, you know, use word of mouth to grow the business. We're going to kind of build up this sort of, you know, social backbone of people that are following us, so that by the time we actually open the brewery, we have fans out there. We're not kind of starting from ground zero. And
well, he's done a great job, because I heard about it from word of mouth myself.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah.
So is that why you're so passionate about Hope International, though? Because you know what it's like to work on that bare bone budget and really work from the bottom to the top and things like that.
Yeah, and I was an economist, sort of economics major in college, and am a huge, huge fan of this idea. It's so much more empowering when you can go out there and you can give someone a resource and let them get by on their own instead of just giving handouts. I think that's it's too often the way we try to go solve problems is we just say we can just give someone a handout. How much do you need? And just go away.
You see that with the government, and it doesn't
work. There was actually a story, probably one of those powerful stories that Peter, who works with Chris, told that still sits with me. And he was talking about a widow, and this is a widow whose wife had died, and I think she was even partially crippled, and she basically, you know, everyone else would say, all right, she's got no chance of being able to do anything out there, being able to have a business. She, you know, we just need to just hand out things to her and do this on a month-to-month basis. And, you know, she needs handouts for the rest of her life. Well, they actually they gave her a loan that allowed her to build kind of an extra room off of her house, which allowed her to then rent that out and have a family live there.
Goodness.
She was able to cover, you know, pay for herself, all of her own needs. She had a family living right next to her that was able to help take care of her.
So community. Yeah.
And community. And you know, all from this tiny little loan. I think it was just a several hundred dollar loan or something.
Wow.
That allowed her to do this. And all of a sudden you took a person that everyone else would have said, she's helpless, you know, there's no way she can get by. But think of how empowering that is for her to literally be on her own and not need anyone's
help. Just to be that forward thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the closest we can come to is telling the man to kiss off. Right. You know, and just saying, hey, we're out of here, boss man. You know, we're going to start our own company.
Right.
And it's such a different story with what Hope International is doing. Who are some of the other companies that you guys are partnering with in the States that people should know about and be getting behind?
Wow, so many local folks in the Atlanta area that are connecting with Hope and just thankful for their support. I mean, the whole impetus behind this event is we have a local regional board of people who are hosting this event for us on our behalf. So there's several other groups locally, Chick-fil-A being one of those that has been a great partner. So
How do you say
sandwich.
That?
Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
Are they new?
I don't know. I don't know if I've heard of them.
I don't know. I've only eaten
the
there every
with,
day.
Like,
the
worst southern accent is getting on you about that. Are you kidding me?
No. I'm just making fun of. I eat
like,
there
what's
every
that
day.
Name? Say it again.
Every day, Chick-fil-A. I have heard of them. Go ahead. Sorry.
So we'll take some operators down from various Chick-fil-A's around the country, and they'll do some leadership training and some problem-solving, decision-making, customer service-type training with some of our staff members that are on the ground in various countries. And so far, as that partnership's just getting off the ground, it's been a really cool way for us to just to be able to leverage business both ways, a win-win.
That is cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and Chick-fil-A is doing a lot of good things right now. There's an initiative in the high schools that actually Blake Canterbury, if you guys have heard of Blake, he's been
with Be Remedy
pushing that a lot. And so just to be that mindset that it doesn't stop with our bottom line in the company. So, Joel, what are some other companies that you guys have partnered with? And I know of one particular event that I've been to at Monday night that allows photographers and people in that are putting together marriages to really do a lot of good with dollars that people are spending already. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So Love Gives Way is a great organization here locally where they're, you know, Chris and I were actually talking about it on the way in, how these insane amounts of money that people will spend on weddings. And
Kevin and I over here can relate. Yeah, we know. The
two engaged people, not to each other.
No, not to each other.
But they are both engaged.
No offense, Kevin, but no.
It's okay. Yeah. And Love Gives Way, it's basically kind of a neat concept where these different wedding vendors can, you know, people still go and they hire these vendors, but these vendors give a portion of their proceeds back towards causes dealing with stopping sex trafficking. And it's a really, really neat kind of way of, you know, kind of making this day that is so sort of self-centered, having some like outward push to it and make people think a little bit, you know.
Well, I do want to let our listeners to know, you know, the sex trafficking happens. It's huge in Georgia and there just isn't awareness about it. And people like have blinders on and don't think it's going on, but it is going on. And it definitely, we need to be aware of that so we can be observant and help stop this. So,
yeah, what's interesting is in many cases with the work that Hope's doing, we see these opportunities where people just need a job. And if they have a job, which is kind of the root cause for so many of the, you know, sex trafficking, so many other issues that people are facing, then we see that it really limits. You know, you're not going to sell your kid into a horrible situation if you're able to put food on the table and take care of them.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see how all those things can be connected.
And how important women are in that equation. I mean, what percentage of the loans go to women with Hope?
Yeah, right at 90% of our clients.
Whoa, that's huge.
And if you think about it, I mean, it kind of makes it makes sense. Like if you get them running these businesses, it means that their families are in better shape,
right.
and their daughters aren't going to be out there selling themselves and
right.
doing
yeah,
things that they.
That's huge too. And women make better entrepreneurs a lot of the time too. They're more.
I agree, Kevin. I agree.
I'm just going to be honest. I interview thousands of people on a daily basis. So
there's this. I have this T-shirt. It's a Nike T-shirt. It's called the Girl Effect, and it's this thing that Nike realized. And it's again, women are kind of the key to so many of these developing countries. Like literally, that if they got girls involved in sports at a young age, that it affected totally the outcomes of everybody else because these girls felt empowered and they were less likely to, you know, make bad decisions with guys. All these sort of corollary effects all by getting the girls to like make
good
decisions.
It's so easy. It's so small. Like it's a small little thing to do and it has a huge impact. And I think that's sort of been the theme of this show is you can do something really small and have a huge return on your investment from there. So.
Yeah, for sure. So with the event that's coming up, what's y'all's end goal? I mean, is that strictly a fundraiser? Is there a dollar amount? Is there a number of companies involved that you guys are wanting? What's the end goal there?
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to pack the place out and put 300 plus in the room.
Okay.
And then the goal is we want to fund as many loans. All the money that's going to be raised that night is going to go directly to the field. And it's going to be put into the form of a loan that someone's going to, you know, to take out, use for their business. They're going to pay it back, and then that loan's going to continue to cycle through our system forever.
Right.
So the goal is that we'd love to hit $10,000 that night, which is going to fund, several loans and
that's
going to impact
so amazing.
Hundreds of people across the world.
$10,000. Okay.
I was going to say $1 billion, but
Oh, nice.
All right. Well, that's where the power of social media can do so much. Mm-hmm. And so I know, I mean, if we just look at the hashtag social good pod right now, the word's getting spread out about you guys. And I would love to have this kind of carry out through the next 10 days now before the event.
Sure.
So 10 days, $10,000. There's no reason why, you know, we can't get that word out in and around Atlanta and get people buying the tickets and get people to show up. So once they get there, what's that going to look like, yeah, as far as how do they contribute?
Yeah, there'll be a $10 charge at the door to get in, and then at that point, like we said earlier, it'll be a great time just to hang out and hear some good tunes and good brews. But we're going to have an opportunity for people to give, and so we're just going to hand out a really simple card with some of the stories that we've shared from that night that people can put on their fridge or their cubicle, mm-hmm, later. Yeah. And there's just going to be a QR code for people to scan on their phones and be able to give right there immediately.
Okay. So you're making it very easy for them too. I love that.
Yeah, so if you're listening, let's start that wave. You know, I mean, let's really kind of put social media to the test and see if we can get this thing sold out quickly. So you guys aren't worried about, do we have enough people?
Sure.
Or not. So we put the link out for Eventbrite. We put the link out for Facebook.
Yeah.
And then we'll be sharing Hope International as well.
Well, definitely. Yeah. And are there other ways to get involved with Hope International? Can you volunteer your time, if not so much your money? And like, how do you guys do that?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, we'd love to just to connect with those people who are interested in just learning more about what this looks like. We take trips down, just a 3-day trip down to the Dominican Republic for people to see and meet some of our clients, see some of the business loans happening. But then another huge way is we have a website called myhoperising.com. Mm-hmm. So you can check out My Hope Rising, and that's an opportunity for you to get on there and say, hey, I've got a 5K coming up. I'm going to run it for hope. Or we've got a guy right now doing an Ironman race and raising funds through that. Just had some students go on a spring break trip and raise funds through My Hope Rising. So it's a great way for anybody to connect.
Okay, and on the other end, once you guys have the money, you guys pick out who you guys are going to help start their business. Is there any kind of educational process for them that you help them along the way, stages to make sure they're successful?
Yeah, another good question. So
I'm on a roll.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're killing it.
He's the pro in the room.
I think every question is a good question. Yeah. You know, Chris.
At least from Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we've got around 1,500 staff around the world that are meeting with these loans, with these clients regularly, weekly. And those staff are local in the countries that they're working in. So in Rwanda, those people are from Rwanda. They're speaking the heart language to our clients. And so a huge piece of what we do, we believe that if we fill people's stomachs and we make their lives better just through providing a loan and see their business increase, that it's really, really for us, it doesn't mean anything unless they understand who created them and the skills and talents they were given to be able to do what they're doing. So there's a huge faith component for us. And so we're teaching biblical business training each week through our loan officers to the clients.
Okay. Perfect.
Wow.
And I can see it too. I'm sure you guys are picking individuals that go along with your value system. So you help them, and then, like you pointed out earlier in an example, they help out their community, and their success is everyone's success.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea that we like to talk about a lot is that if one boat rises in the port, the whole port's going to rise, right? The whole dock rises. That.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot with all the small startups in Atlanta also. That's what we're trying to do here. So I love to see that.
Yeah, and there's so many organizations that put people and companies like you guys in the forefront by having meetups, having events like this. And so, you know, if there's anybody listening that has an event coming up where Hope International can come and speak, Chris has got this stuff down. He's been mm-hmm. in my office sharing with me. And so just quick, the history between you and I, as far as small businesses go, your wife ain't bad.
Yeah. 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 Well,
talk about a strong woman entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely married up, and
me too. I'm doing it.
You're getting there. You're getting there.
Don't say all.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has a Chancy Charm Weddings. It's a wedding planning and design company.
That's your wife?
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know that. Okay. Yeah. That now I'm making the connection.
Yeah,
that's
there you
awesome.
Go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah,
so we've just kind of failed forward over the last few years and just seen a lot of traction in Atlanta and such a great business to be in and just learned a lot from it.
Yeah, so awesome. You got that connection, the photography business.
Right.
Hope, yeah, I mean, it's just it all ties
together. Entrepreneurship, I see it.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So circling back around to Monday night, what's what can we expect other than the new beers and the new six pack? What's coming up for you guys that we can get behind and really support?
So we have, let's see, what do we have coming up? We actually have a beer mile.
Ooh.
Coming up. Now, there are people that are really good at drinking, people that are really good at running. This is going to be something that is going to challenge your drinking and running skills combined.
So I have to drink a mile worth of beer. Got it.
This sounds very dangerous.
So you basically run a mile in quarter-mile sections, and then you drink a beer in along the way, basically.
So four beers, 1 mile?
I don't
exactly.
Think I could
four
do
beers,
that.
1 mile.
Does that work out calorie-wise?
I think so. we're actually doing it. All the money is going towards charity, towards a group called Ties That Matter, and they're based here in Atlanta. Kind of a lot of similar things to what Hope is doing. They have just two villages down in Haiti where essentially they send these ties down there, and then women take them and turn them into purses and dolls and all
That's
these
awesome.
Goods. And they've gotten, I think, one of the villages is at the point where they're able to essentially. They have enough jobs that they've created out of this where it's sort of self-propelling at this point, which is pretty exciting.
Well, I love that.
So on the beer mile, but you can you can come and you can raise money to run in it, or you can just come and, you know, pay a ticket and drink beer, and then you can also buy water balloons from.
That's where I come in. Right.
That was Joel's idea. I can tell
from
that was his
ties
idea.
Ties That Matter. You buy the water balloons and you get to throw them at the
this
runners
is,
as
me.
They do
that's what
the beer
I can
miles.
Do.
What's the date of this?
The date is
ish.
May something.
Come on, Joel. Right. Prepared. Come prepared.
So it should be warm enough. And that,
yeah, it'll be
that
warm
balloon,
enough. It's late May. Yeah.
That water balloon's going to be refreshing.
Exactly.
I mean, who wouldn't want a water balloon thrown at them?
That's the twist I'm most excited about. I'm thinking I'm going to get one of those, like, water balloon.
Or
like
beer balloons.
Catapults.
I'm innovating.
Yes, I've got it.
Beer in the balloons and that, yes.
So. I know we chatted a little bit earlier, Joel, but why are you so passionate about giving back? Like, I understand why Chris is, but I just don't.
Because he drinks beer all day.
I haven't
day.
Figured
He's
it
happy.
Out yet. I mean, yeah, I know you drink beer all day, so you're so happy, but I just love people who are so passionate about giving back. Is there some kind of underlying message that.
Yeah, when we. I think that. I think business is it is a tool for making money, and yes, you've got to be profitable, but mm-hmm. but Jonathan and Jeff and I are, you know, we're making way less money than we've ever made in our lives
right.
doing what we're doing now, but we're doing it because we are passionate about kind of creating a space, creating a place for community, and you know we just believe that, you know, I think that some of the most powerful stuff that can happen out there is really through businesses. Businesses, I think, can be some of the best instruments of change in our society, and they can be some of the ways that messages really get out. And I love seeing when nonprofits partner up with businesses and go out there instead of this old thing where, you know, business was
on one side
and nonprofits and really kind of
not interact.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And you're like, all right, over here, I'm only concerned about profit and I'll do everything to cut my costs, but then
right.
I'll give some money over here and feel
just
good about
it. Just to make
it
look
right.
good. Right.
Right, exactly. And, mm-hmm. and really where kind of those two intersect is really right where we want to be.
And that's, that's where the magic happens.
And I'm going to put you on the spot because I do want to tweet out about them. Ties That Bind. Any idea off the top of your head, their Twitter handle?
Ties That Matter.
Ties That Matter.
I don't know, but if you go Monday Night Mile is MondayNightMile.com is the site for what I was talking about before.
I've got it. Yep.
Perfect.
Joel, I want to dig into. I know you're searching on your phone for that. I want to dig into. I know on the Kroger on Howell Mill, I can buy Monday Night, but how are you guys expanding into different?
He's like,
places?
Where can I get my beer?
Because
just tell me.
There's the specialty stores, and there's the Howell Mill Kroger, and then I go to other Krogers, and I'm really depressed a lot of the time.
And there's a BP in Dunwoody.
Yes, that's where
I
picked up.
We are
ours.
So we are in all of the Krogers around Atlanta now. So they've just been resetting the stores, and so they'll be in all the Krogers now. We're working on Publix, and then obviously a lot of the local package stores that have us. We have a locator on our website too that we're getting better about kind of getting that up.
That's
updated.
A really cool piece on the site. So,
yeah,
that's how I found that.
Yeah,
BP
I think it's
station.
Like I think it's about 1,400 locations or something around town that we're in. So
very intuitive. Mm-hmm.
And I love your graphic design. I love that you put the pairings for meats, fish, whatever goes with the beer.
I want you to read the back of the Blind Pirate bottle. All right. And what does it say for the pairings?
Together. I'm just kidding.
It says what?
What are the pairings?
Stop
Drink it.
It
with something nice.
All right. Where are we going with
cheese,
this?
Cheese, chili, your mom,
Hello?
Or salt?
He just love went it. There with moms.
I love it. That's the first. That's the first right
hey,
there.
Your mom's nice, isn't she?
My mom is delightful. She is awesome.
I'm so
all the your
right
mama
now.
Joke, all the your mama jokes going through my head right now. And we're, it's
it
not
sounds like a sounds like a perfect Mother's Day gift is what you've packaged.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. I absolutely love that.
This goes well with your mom.
So what's the overall goal of Monday Night Brewing? Are you going to be the next biggest brewery? Are you going to be in multiple states? Is that part of your – are you guys happy where you're at? Or what do you guys need more of?
Our goal is really to just be a really great – Atlanta and regional brewery. I think, you know, we don't have aspirations of being a big national brand or anything like that. And really, I think it stems from I think that there's only room for so many of those in the market. And B, we love, you know, we don't want to just be beer. There's so much that goes with sort of being a business in an area and sort of the local aspect of it that. That's really, I think, we want to stay in this area for the long run. So.
Well, you're in a cool area, too. You're off of Howell Mill, right?
Yep. So, yeah. Right in kind of West Midtown there by the waterworks.
Yeah, I live over by Castleberry, so
cool.
I like that,
nice.
That area.
We're, along those lines, too, we're working with the city on trying to get that waterworks there turned into a park.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Which would be really cool. And
people bring their dogs and hang
out. Exactly.
Love this. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, so Chris Jansey just reached into his magical bag of goodies and pulled out a book, Mission Drift by Peter Greer. Give me a little more info on this, because I think this is something we want to try and give away while we're on the air.
Yeah, this is something that our organization has just been this has been a buzzword around for us, this concept of mission drift and making sure that we were an organization that just wanted to stay true to our mission. So whether you're a business out there, whether you're a startup, whether you've been where you're a nonprofit, you have an organization that you care a lot about, the bottom line is you want to stay true to what you were called to. And we realized there were a lot of organizations out there that started with one frame of mind and ended up way off base from where they started.
Yeah.
So we profile some of those organizations that started well and have continued to stay on that mission and stayed mission true is what we call it. And then there are some that have drifted a little bit, and we can learn from where they've been and what they've done and the stories they tell now. So it's just compiles all those stories into one, and we'd love to share that with anybody out there listening.
Absolutely. If you'll just reply on the Relational EQ Twitter handle and just put in their hashtag Mission Drift, and we'll pick a couple of people to send a book to.
Yeah.
Thanks to Hope International, and Peter Greer, if you don't know, is the CEO of Hope International. So this is great. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. This is great.
So as we wrap things up here, just to remind everybody again to go to the Eventbrite page. We've shared that link out. But if Eventbrite's great. If you just search events in Atlanta and search microbrews for
micro loans.
Mm-hmm. It'll come up. And that event, no fooling, is on April the 1st. That'll be a fun day.
That's right.
And then we want to get 300 people there. We want to raise $10,000. And if anybody is interested in contacting Chris directly, Chris's Twitter handle.
Yeah, at Chris Chansey.
All right, and that's Chansey with an EY on the end.
Mm-hmm. I still can't believe I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then I like to pride myself on that I can find just about anybody online. And Joel is around, but not in the Twitter sphere. But
he's a ninja.
Monday night is.
He's a ninja.
He is a ninja.
Yeah.
Is a ninja. Exactly. And you may or may not still have another job on your Facebook page.
He's not a social media.
He doesn't want to be known, okay?
But that's at Monday night, and good job scoring that Twitter handle.
Definitely. And when's this Blind Pirate double Indian Pale Ale coming out? Because it's delicious. So.
Next week it should start hitting stores.
Stores so people can go do a little scavenger hunt,
exactly.
Find it, hunt it down. There's going to be like a huge rush of people like waiting for the stores to open, I can tell.
It'll be at your Kroger.
My friends will kill me if I don't ask. They're all jealous that you're coming on. They want to know if you're hiring, when, and they'll work for free beer. So
for beer,
I think we should ask both.
We're always looking for people. It's non-glamorous work, but they can reach out to me. We're always looking for people to load glass and do stuff like that. So
right
now it's mostly just manual labor.
Exactly.
Yeah. Chris, what about you? Hope International, are you guys hiring?
Yeah, we've got some internships on our website at hopeinternational.org that are being filled. One for Atlanta area that we're still looking for the right person, right candidate. So feel free to contact me about that. And then we have several job openings as well.
Okay.
In several countries around the world, as well as in our home office, which is up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Not Lancaster.
Wow. Not Lancaster.
Amish country.
Doesn't go over very well. Yeah.
Lancaster,
he learned.
PA.
There you go.
And well, you guys scored a pretty good Twitter handle, too. Hope Tweets. Yep. And, I mean, that's easy to remember. And then all the information for their website is on there as well.
Definitely. And we've been tweeting out all that stuff, too. But, yeah, guys, go out to the event again. What is it? It's Micro Brews for Micro Loans, April 1st from 7 to 9, I believe, if I remember that correctly.
Ish.
Go out there. Bring $10. It's for a good cause. Drink some really good beer. You can try this new Blind Pirate. And, yeah, we hope to see you there.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Great. For,
thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Van Baird and Taylor Searin, our guests today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Emerging Enterprises.